You're listening to Beyond Bourbon Street, an insider's guide to New Orleans. Beyond Bourbon Street is the podcast where we explore the food, music, culture, places, and people that make New Orleans unique. Whether you are planning a trip, living in New Orleans, or simply wanting a taste of the Crescent City from wherever you are, you've come to the right place. And now, your host, Mark Bologna.
Hey y'all, this is Mark. Welcome to episode 86. The last show was all about bread, or should I say one man's passion about bread and changing the way we think about it. I talked with Grayson Gill, the founder of Bellegarde Bakery here in New Orleans. If you love bread and you missed that episode, go back and give it a listen. It'll change the way you think about that bag of flour sitting in your pantry. Today's show is going to be a Q&A episode. I'm joined by a good friend with a fun brand. Before we jump in, though, I want to tell you about our newest sponsor, Chop Industries. Chop, it's T-C-H-O-U-P, for those of you not here in New Orleans, is a local company that makes durable backpacks and travel accessories. They work with local suppliers, and they use materials from Louisiana as much as they can. They also often collaborate with local artists and makers here in the city. They offer a great line of bags, packs, fanny packs, and other accessories. They also do a great job with one-of-a-kind goods, and they kind of describe that as being created for one-of-a-kind people. So one-of-a-kind goods, one-of-a-kind people. They make them right here in New Orleans at their wonderful shop over on St. Mary's Street, just off Magazine. Longtime listeners might remember we talked to Patty, who's the founder and owner of Chop Industries, way back in episode 51, which was our first small business spotlight show. In any event, check out Chop Industries next time you're in town or order online at chopindustries.com. And when you use code BEYOND, you save 15% on your order. I'll put all that over in the show notes. With that, I want to jump in. As you know, it's a Q&A episode. We got questions from our Facebook group, which is over on Facebook at the Beyond Bourbon Street Crew. It's K-R-E-W-E. And when I do these, I like to bring somebody in to get a different perspective. Today, I'm joined by a friend who also has a really great brand. We'll talk about it. And welcome to the show, Rudy Rayfield. How are you?
I'm doing great, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm really excited to have you. So Rudy is better known online as Rudy Da Foodie. You can check him out on Instagram. And are you on Twitter with Rudy Da Foodie or no?
Yes, I am on Twitter. That's I am Rudy Da Foodie, and it's R-U-D-Y-D-A-F-O-O-D-I-E. Rudy the Foodie.
We'll link all that up over in the show notes, which will be at beyondbourbonst.com/86. And you have a great hashtag, fixin' to eat.
Yeah, fixin' to eat.
It's F-I-X-I-N-T-O-E-A-T. So we'd encourage you to use that when you tag in great places to eat in New Orleans.
Absolutely.
But you'll see that stuff, so check it out on Instagram. And Rudy's got a bunch of other things up his sleeve that he's working on right now. And I just thought it'd be fun to get your perspective on the show. So since it's the first time on with me, why don't you tell our listeners what part of the city you grew up in, where you live, that kind of thing right now, just a kind of general framework of the part of the city you're in most of the time.
Well, absolutely. I am from New Orleans, Louisiana. I grew up in the 6th Ward of New Orleans, which is at that time the Lafitte Housing Project. Moved to Gentilly right during high school, and ever since then I've lived in Gentilly. So like in New Orleans, we say it's not where you're from, it's where you're at. So Gentilly is where I'm at.
But you and I met about a year and a half ago through our friends over at Harrah's, Ashley Lusk and Gordon,
yes.
Gordon Sipple, Mr. Scott Eddy, who was in town. But that's how we met. And like so many in New Orleans, it turns out, I grew up in Gentilly, as listeners know. We used to own Teddy's Grill, so it's your neighborhood.
Yes, it is.
So, the more Rudy and I get to know each other, the more we realize we have a lot in common, including our love of food and our love of New Orleans.
Absolutely.
So, you ready to jump in with some questions?
Yeah, let's talk about some deliciousness.
All right. So, these questions, again, they came from our Facebook group. So, if you're on Facebook, join the crew. It's the Beyond Bourbon Street Crew, K-R-E-W-E. It's a lot of fun, and it's the first place that I go when I ask for questions for a show. So, these aren't in any particular order. But we'll jump in. We'll see how far we get. Let's see. Michael Woodward says, New Orleans has a unique and deep history or heritage of music. Who are the local bands or musicians that people outside New Orleans ought to know about?
What a great question, Michael, and thank you for that question. Well, first of all, I would say you need to get down to the 7th Ward at Bullet Sports Bar. You can catch Kermit Ruffins. I believe it's on Thursday night. Don't quote me on that, but you can Google that. But Bullet Sports Bar is a great place to catch local acts. I'm talking about Beyond Bourbon Street local acts.
See what you did there? Yep, I think that's a great one. John Boutte is a favorite of mine. You can see John at a lot of festivals. You see his whole family actually over at Bufa's.
Absolutely.
Often right on the edge of the French Quarter, the Marigny, and the Treme right there on Esplanade. That's a good one that is a can't miss. I love Shamar Allen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a great... Shamar is a friend and also a friend of Paul Sanchez, who was on the podcast a couple of years ago. Shamar is a great jazz trumpeter and just a good musician, a good New Orleanian, does a lot to help kids with music in the city. Let's see, who else comes to mind?
Well, you can jump down to Frenchman Street and you can see the Soul Rebels Brass Band, the Stooges Brass Band over at the Blue Nile. Those are always fun. Bourbon Street, you may catch anyone over there, so... But definitely on Frenchman Street, you got a lot of jazz acts. What is that? Jeremy Davenport spot, right?
Over at the Ritz at the M Lounge,
Absolutely.
M Bistro Lounge. That's right. That's a great one. That's a lot of fun.
It's that kind is a of lot a of fun.
You know, dress up evening, go have a nice cocktail, kind of like a throwback thing. We did a Revion dinner there during Christmas.
Yeah.
It was fabulous, and you get Jeremy playing in the background with the whole band. Certainly the musicians over on Royal Street, right? Just the street
Absolutely.
Musicians.
Absolutely. Miss Doris.
Miss Doris.
Doris is great, yeah.
Yep. You got Doreen Ketchins. You got so many. Then you got artists over on Jackson Square
sure.
as well. The, let's see, where. Oh, the Rebirth Brass Band.
Yeah.
Over at Maple Leaf.
Maple Leaf, yeah.
Is that Tuesday or Thursday night?
Tuesday night.
I think it's, right, if Kermit's, if Soul Rebels are Thursday, I get them confused, yeah. but right. So that's one. Yeah, so those are just a couple. We could go on and on and on. And one of the things that's coming up as we record this in mid-March is French Quarter Fest.
Absolutely.
And that is a great, it's 99% New Orleans artists. They'll have an occasional artist from somewhere else in Louisiana, but it is very much homegrown. So that's a great way, either if you're in town for French Quarter Fest, you can just wander the stages and hear some great music, or you can go on their website and check out the lineup, and that'll give you a good sort of look into, if you're not here, check out the listings there and then go find those artists, and you'll have a great taste in New Orleans. So I hope that helps, Michael. Let's see. Question number two, I think it's Kieran Pittman. She says, you mentioned in a Moving to New Orleans podcast the local habit of using baby as a form of address. We're smiling at each other. I've been listening for it on my visits and trying to discern the underlying etiquette. I'm not quite sure, or I'm sure it's not quite okay for anybody to call anybody baby. Would you guys put this very endearing term into context?
Well, baby, let me tell you something. When you come to New Orleans, if you don't want to be called baby, it's a term of endearment. You know, it's a welcome term. We welcome folks in our home all the time. It could be the first time you've met them, but if you're with a friend and you're a friend of a friend, then you're family basically. So, baby is just a term of endearment. Just hey, welcome to New Orleans.
Yeah, and you hear it a lot. I think you're right. You probably wouldn't walk down the street and say, hey, baby. But, you know, you hear it in the grocery store. I go stop at Robert's all the time. And it doesn't matter who the checkout person is. Hey, baby, how you doing? You know, or babe, can you give me that? Or it is just very much a sort of local colloquialism. It's, I wouldn't get off the plane and start calling people baby. But I wouldn't be offended if, whether you're a man or a woman, if somebody calls you baby.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's just part of. So when you get out west of here in Lafayette, they call you Macher.
Macher, yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of the same type thing, but here in New Orleans. Let's see. Tamara Padilla Ward, how do you choose which artists to see at French Quarter Fest? So many choices, not enough time.
Well, I'm gonna be honest. You just have to play it by ear. Because the French Quarter Fest is wide open. It is the largest festival that our city holds, free festival at that. Mm-hmm. So as you're walking up Jack's Brewery area, Decatur Street, the stages are all over the place. So you can kind of let the music guide you on what you're looking for. But I like to take a look. I like to talk to concierge in hotels, the local folks who are kind of amongst everyone else, or workers at that. Those are the best folks to kind of tell you where the acts are and who's playing and who's the CISO.
Yeah, that's great advice. And one of the things that makes the French Quarter Festival unique, besides the fact, like you mentioned, it's free, is that you can kind of go in and out of it. You can be over on Royal Street and go hear some music and then duck into a gallery or duck into a little shop.
Absolutely.
And that's a great conversation starter. You want to get out of the heat for a minute, go on in and say, who would you see? What would you like to, you know, where should I go based on what you like?
Right, right. And don't forget, if you follow me on my page, I will be downloading, like I do every year, a list of things that you don't want to forget. So it's a Rudy the Foodie checklist for festivals. So I do that every year. If you go on my page at Rudy the Foodie, or I am Rudy the Foodie on Twitter, even Facebook, Fixing to Eat with Rudy the Foodie, you'll be able to find that checklist. Festival checklist.
Awesome. And we'll put, again, I'll get all that from Rudy. We'll put links to it over in the show notes. Way back, so today is episode 86, but way back in episode 8, which was a couple years ago, we did a French Quarter Festival guide. And we talked about some musicians, some of those, in fact, most of those play every year, so you'll hear them, but kind of talked about how to approach the festival. And I'm with you. It sort of depends if you're like a chair or a sit person or kind of wander around. But I think French Quarter Fest, it's so great to not have a plan. Walk up to a stage, see how crowded it is, see where the sun is, see how hot it is, kind of check it out, see if it's something you like, and then you drift away and go to another stage. You know, there's also over by the Ursuline Convent, there's usually some performances inside the church there. So that's nice if it's hot or you just want something completely different. Right out on the river in Waldenburg Park, and they keep expanding and kind of changing up the stages.
If you go all the way to the Mint, you're going to have stages and food all the way to the Mint. So from Canal Street
to 11 blocks,
yeah, to Esplanade Avenue, it's just full of fun music, food, just great drinks and enjoyment. So
yeah, I mean, the French Quarter is not that big. And so you can wander around. And again, I like that you can kind of duck out when you need a break, if you want to go sit down in a bar or something like that. Not a direct answer, but it is the kind of thing that if you can go with the flow, that's the way to go, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
So let's see, Tamara, thanks for that question. Let's see, the next one comes from Tara Williams. What is the history of the birthday dollars? So let's first talk about what the birthday dollar thing is. So you want me to do it?
Yeah, you can do it.
All right. So you'll see people walking down the street or even sometimes in your office or out, and they'll have a dollar pinned to their shirt or their chest, right? And so what happens on their birthday, somebody will pin a dollar on them, and then people see it and they go, oh, it's your birthday, and they'll pin another dollar. And so it's just sort of people will walk up and pin dollars on you or buy you a drink or both.
Basically an indirect way to ask for a gift.
hey, it's my birthday.
It's right? My birthday, right. But now you know people are going even further, right? So you go to Party City or your favorite party store, you have a birthday pin, you know, that says it's my birthday. So you definitely get
like
dollars,
I could
so.
Never do that, right?
I don't think I do it either. I did though, you know. It's one of those things that you kind of, it's culturally that you grew up on, yep. You know, it's one of those things that everyone did, and so you did it too, so.
Well, and one of the things we were talking about when we were preparing is that at weddings here, it's very common, sure, to sort of have a money dance.
Absolutely.
And that often they'll pin, someone will pin to the bride and the groom.
Absolutely.
And so that's the first time, my first recollection of seeing that.
Well, actually, they sell money bags for the bride, so.
Make
it a little fancy.
I see. But it's definitely a New Orleans tradition. We were looking online, though, and it looks like it might actually have its roots in some African culture.
Yeah, that's what I saw, so.
And so that would make sense. And, you know, there's so much of New Orleans food and music and history that's influenced by the islands and by African nations. And so I hope that helps a little bit. But if you see somebody walking down the street with dollars pinned to them, don't rob them.
Right.
Pin a dollar on them or buy them a drink. Let's see. Christopher Irvin asks, what advice do you have for a first-time Jazz Fest attendee?
Rudy the Foodie's checklist. Definitely get my checklist, because you don't want to forget anything. Mainly cash.
Yep.
Cash is always a big thing. Although they have ATMs at the Jazz Fest. But water, cash, and just your ID is three big things that you don't want to forget.
Yep. And again, right way back in episode 9. So in episode 8, we did French Quarter Guide. And episode 9 was our Jazz Fest Survival Guide. And we talk about a lot of those things. But right, there's some common sense things like that. Sunscreen, a hat goes a long way. It's hot out there. There's no shade unless you go into the fairgrounds, the grandstands.
And also, you know, make sure you walk in groups. Someone needs to be responsible for where you parked at, where the car, you know, what street you parked on, what hotel you're at. All of those things, it seems like common sense things, but, you know, it's kind of street smarts of New Orleans. So you want to make sure you're careful about those things too. So,
but, you know, what I'll say about Jazz Fest is that the less you can bring, the better. So a small bag with the essentials. You are going to be out there all day. Music starts at 11. It goes to 7 every day. The gates usually open a little earlier. So that's a long day. And Jazz Fest, for those of you that maybe haven't been, it's on the infield of a horse track. So if you think about a horse track, there is no shade. You know, it is the last weekend in April, first weekend in May. That might technically be spring, but it is summer here in New Orleans. It's usually hot. It's steamy, sunny.
So sunscreen.
Sunscreen. If it's raining, people will wear rain boots, or everybody here has shrimp boots, rubber boots that you might go fishing in. So you want to think about that. I also think there are people that very much pick a stage and sit there all day. There are people that come for the big, big acts, and there's always big acts at Jazz Fest. There are people that just sort of like to float around, like we were talking about with French Quarter Fest. I really think it's, again, one of those things, if you can allow yourself not to be wed to a plan, it's even more compact than French Quarter Fest. So you can wander around all the stages, and gosh, there are certainly big artists we pick every year, but my best moments at Jazz Fest are always when I wander into the jazz tent, or I head over to Fade Dodo and I don't know who's playing,
right?
Don't even know who they are, right? Yep. You just kind of absorb the music.
Yep. But just make sure you drink plenty of water, though.
You can bring in, I think you can bring in a bottle of water, and you can certainly bring in empty bottles of, bottles, and there are water fountains. So if you don't want to buy bottled water, you can fill up something there. But it does get hot.
It does get hot, yeah.
So the other thing is, if you're a fan, and you should be, of WWOZ, you can check out, not only can you find the lineups online, but WWOZ is a good place to go sample music ahead of time. Many of the artists that perform at French Quarter Fest also perform at Jazz Fest. The big difference, obviously, it's a paid event compared to French Quarter Fest, and it has many artists that are not from here. But I think I added it up last year. It still ends up being like 85% of the artists are from Louisiana. And really, if you think about it, people will sometimes gripe about, well, why are the Rolling Stones coming, or why is some big act? Well, those big acts draw in the tickets,
absolutely,
right? So that the festival can afford to bring in local artists and support them. And I think if you talk to local artists, they love playing Jazz Fest. They love playing French Quarter Fest. But I think that would be my advice. People get real hung up on, oh, I got to go this weekend, I got to go that weekend. No, you don't. I mean, it's certainly fun to see the big names, but it's the ones you just wander into.
And they even added an extra day this year, right?
They did. So it's a special deal. They added a first Thursday. So it's generally Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Well, this year on the second Thursday, it's the 50th anniversary as we record this in 2019, the Rolling Stones are playing on the second Thursday. And that's going to be a special deal with much higher tickets. They're going to shut down all the other stages when the Rolling Stones play. They're going to limit tickets. So because that's effectively not a regular day of Jazz Fest, they've put a first Thursday on the first weekend. So that's really great. That's a good tip, too.
That is.
Going on the weekdays, it's a little bit less crowded.
Yep.
It's got a slightly different vibe.
It does.
It's a fun time. You see, they usually call that second Thursday Locals Day.
It is, yeah.
It's really my
sometimes
favorite time.
Sometimes a little cooler, too.
It is sometimes.
It'll be a little cooler.
Yep. We'll usually sneak the kids out of school one of those days.
Don't tell anybody.
Yeah, don't tell anyone. And they have a great kids area, too. So that's a fun way to do it. But I hope that helps. So again, we'll link up to Rudy's sort of cheat sheet. We'll link up to my earlier episode. And Marie and I are due to do the next installation of our festival series to talk about, I don't know if we'll get one out for French Quarter Fest, but certainly for Jazz Fest. So I hope that helps you out, Christopher. Next up, and we kind of hit this a little bit, Rudy. Betty Heverly says, where can I listen to free local music around town besides Jazz and Heritage Foundation venue? So there's so much. We talked about the street musicians. You definitely shouldn't miss Royal Street, even Frenchman Street. There's that group that plays outside of Dat Dog. That's tremendous. A lot of the festivals are free. In fact, most of the festivals are free. We're recording this right now, and I should mention that. We're recording this at Pythian Market. So Pythian Market is a really cool food hall right on Loyola Avenue, three blocks from the Sanger. So in fact, we went to see Hamilton last night, and we stopped over here and had
some
food.
Great food here.
Yeah. They got all kinds of things. There's a pizza place I love called Mirabeau.
Oh, shout out to Mirabeau, man.
They have, I'm going to draw blanks, the Little Fig, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
There's about 12 or 14 little shops in here, places. It's been a great thing for lunch here. But again, going to Hamilton last night at the Sanger, three blocks from here. It's like, where can we go and just get something light to eat? This was a perfect spot. And they have a bar in here too, so you can get something to drink. But I wanted to mention them because they were gracious enough to loan us some space here, Rudy, to record. But the reason I thought of that is this question about free music. So lots of festivals have free music. We're recording this on a Wednesday, and this is the first of the spring series called Wednesdays at the Square. We've mentioned this in our festivals guide. So free concerts every Wednesday for about 6 or 8 weeks, and then it picks up again later in the year over at Lafayette Park. Lafayette Park or Lafayette Square, that's just two blocks from the old 77, which we'll talk about in a little while. It's right on the streetcar line, really. Yeah. It's you'll see the businesses kind of empty out about 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock.
You go the city empty out, hopefully.
Have a drink, get some music. They usually have a snowball stand
set
up.
Great food.
Yep, tonight is Big Sam's Funky Nation. My kids love to go see Big Sam because Big Sam has twins.
Oh,
and
really?
So we have twins, obviously, and so the kids get a
kick.
There's
a connection there.
Yeah. The kids like that.
I will say this about the free music, though. The venues that do charge, keep in mind, normally most bars, especially in New Orleans, have a two-drink minimum. And sometimes it's hard for bars to monitor the two-drink minimum. So just think, if you allow people to enter free and no one bought a drink, it's kind of like a wash for the venue. So sometimes when there's that $10 cover charge, it's pretty much kind of to cover the two-drink minimum just in case you don't drink. So don't be offended by it, but it's just one of those ways where we can just kind of monitor. But there are a lot. There are probably more free venues to hear music.
Which is good and bad for the artist, too,
yes,
right?
Is,
I mean, they get their music out, but at the same time, people are trying to make a living.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So there's a bunch. There's no shortage. The other thing that comes to mind, and I'm drawing a blank on the name of it, we talked about it in one of our recent episodes, is there is a National Historic Park right along. So if you go to Café du Monde on Decatur, behind Café du Monde is a little alley called Dutch Alley, named after a former mayor of New Orleans, Dutch Morial. But if you wander that alley about a block headed towards Esplanade, there's a little National Historical Park that focuses on jazz. And so they have exhibits and information and education there, but they have free performances there all the time. So that's a good spot to go check out music as well. Let's see, what else we got? Sean Vaughn. So Sean is a longtime listener, Rudy, that I got to meet. He and his wife came in town several months ago, and I got to meet them. But he asks, ask Rudy to make his perfect day of eating in New Orleans.
Really, Sean? Well, you know, obviously, most of the time I get paid to eat, so it's kind of tough to make a list. But if I had to make a list, I'll make this list for you, Sean, real quick. I probably most likely would start with Ceres Cafe. Am I saying that name right?
Ceres, right? Ceres.
Ceres. I say Ceres.
It's Surrey, I
something
think.
Like that.
Yeah.
But two places. So I'm gonna give you two of each, right? Ceres Cafe, you can bring your own bottle. A lot of people locally doesn't realize that you bring your own bottle, meaning that if you have champagne and orange juice, you can pop it open at the table. They have a great French toast. They have a great shrimp and grits. Secondly, believe it or not, on Magazine Street, there's a great restaurant called Red Dog Diner. It is amazing. It has the best blueberry pancake I have ever eaten in my life. And it's a great atmosphere, but there's also other great food and great drinks there as well. Moving along, depending on how much time we have, right, we can go to Mahoney's Po' Boys after we take a break. We probably need to take a nap after
or
after
a walk.
Breakfast.
I mean, you can walk it off.
Right. But if we're staying on that street, we can go to Mahoney's, or we can go further up to a great restaurant, great Creole restaurant called Munch Factory. And I really recommend Munch Factory because they have a huge menu and it's a lot of local favorites. They have a lot of great flair, great amazing chef over there. He and his wife run a great establishment. So I definitely would consider Munch Factory.
Where is that at? Because they've moved around a little bit.
Munch Factory is uptown, right on the fork of Magazine and Sophie B. Wright.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So they're right on that corner.
So that's very, very close to Chop Industries.
It is very close there. Yeah.
So Chop is on that little cut through St. Mary's Street.
Yeah, absolutely.
Another thing about Munch Factory, So it's not coincidence you're bringing this up, because they got their start in Gentilly.
They did.
You know where their first building was?
Let's see, Teddy's Grill.
It was in our building.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was our first tenant. After,
you see that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they've moved around a bunch, but it's a great location. That's kind of a booming little area there.
It is a booming area.
Of triangle of Magazine Street.
Right? It is. It is. And if I had to continue on, obviously, again, another nap, right? I'll walk. But to end the night, I always like to figure out a place where, you know, you can have a great ambiance. You can be close enough to catch some great local music. And I'll give you a few spots. Obviously, you know, Chocolate Oysters in New Orleans, you know, I would have to go with Drago's. This is not a paid ad, by the way, but I love Drago's because it's consistent, right? It always is consistently good. So that's over at the Hilton. Then I probably for dinner would either do 33 steak, 33 Galatoire's 33, or if you're looking for a more balanced menu, and what I mean by balance is where, you know, from appetizer to all the way through to desserts, Dickie Brennan's. You can get a great steak. You can get great soups, salads, or if you're just looking for a great burger. So,
yeah, you have asked the man that could talk about this forever.
Yeah,
I have been out eating with him, and it's quite an experience. So it's a lot of fun when the two of us get out there and do that. But so that's a great handful. And you know what I love about the question, Sean, is we could go on and on and on, and there's so many different takes on that. You know, and that's part of what we try to do. But you know, that's a good segue. You're talking about all this eating, and I'm trying to get you to go for a walk, right? So I got the solution for that. You ever been on a Two Chicks walking tour?
I haven't.
Yeah, so Two Chicks is owned by my friend Christine Miller, but they put on one of the best tours in the city. They have a couple different tours, Rudy, but the one I want to talk about is over in the Garden District.
Okay.
So they take you on a tour. You get to see the new and the old. You get some history of the neighborhood. You get to learn about some of the architecture. You learn about past residents like Anne Rice. You get to go walk by Archie Manning's house, the house that Peyton and Eli grew up in.
Wow.
So you get to see all that, and you get to ask questions. And so if there's something you're specifically interested in, they kind of tailor the tour. They take small groups, which is different than a lot of tours. They also, the reason I like that one in particular, is you also get to go into Lafayette Cemetery right across from Commander's.
Oh, wow.
So the nice thing there, people always ask about the cemeteries and why we bury our dead the way we do. Well, when you take a Two Chicks Garden District tour, you get both. So you get the Garden District and you get the cemetery right
there.
Sure,
sure.
And that's a small cemetery, but it really gives you a good sense of the city. Marie and I have been on the tour ourselves. We loved it. Consistently, people like going on the tour. So go check it out. They also have several varieties of French Quarter tours, and they do offer a tour of St. Louis Cemetery No. 1, which is the oldest cemetery in the city. Whatever you choose, use code BEYOND, and you save 15% over at Two Chicks Walking Tours, and I know you'll be in great hands and have a wonderful time.
I'll check you out.
So you and I need to go do that sometime in between. Like, we'll go on a Magazine Street food crawl.
Only if we go to Commander's.
For 25-cent martinis for lunch. So, Sean, you should take Rudy's suggestions, and then somewhere in there, you guys should go on a walking tour. Although, I think you and your wife did that. Let's see. Chris Ligon asked for recommendations of a French Quarter cocktail tour that focuses on cocktails that are somehow unique to New Orleans, or a drink that a place does especially well. And so I have one, and then I'll go to you. This is not a paid advertisement, but you queued that up. Elizabeth Pierce runs a great one called Drink and Learn. She was a guest on this show back in episode 49. And not only is she knowledgeable, she's so much fun. So I forget which bar you meet at, but she takes you to three or four bars. You get little sample tastes. And she talks about not only the history of the drinks, but she talks about the history of New Orleans through the context of the drinks. And I just love that approach. She also has a podcast called Drink and Learn, which is really fun. It's a little bit, again, of learning and learning about cocktails, learning about sort of the bigger picture there with Abigail Gullo, who until recently was the chef, bar chef over at Compare Le Pen. Abigail has since moved on to Seattle.
Wow.
She's making a new home, but they still do the podcast. But Elizabeth's tour is a good one. I think she has a discount too for listeners. I think it's BBST. We'll save you a few dollars, and I'll put that over in the show notes. But that one comes to mind.
Yeah, I think you turned me on to her.
She's really good.
Yeah. But what one comes to mind is one of the oldest bars, and correct me if I'm wrong, would be Blacksmith, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure, Lafitte's Blacksmith.
Yeah, Lafitte's Blacksmith. So, you know, but, you know, every bar, if you walk through the French Quarter, has some type of history, whether it's the hand grenade, whether it's the big old beer.
The hurricane.
The hurricane. So you'd be sure to find some type of lesson through as you stroll down the French Quarter.
You know, and a lot of times, so there are a lot of drinks that either were created here or that have long, deep roots here. I'm thinking of the Ramos Gin Fizz. We've talked about some of these before. Toujax has the grasshopper.
Yeah.
Then you have the French 75. You know, there are lots of places with a great old fashioned.
Oh, yeah, great.
We talked to Ian McNulty, right before Christmas, and he had just published an article. He kind of went on an old fashioned pub crawl.
Really?
He couldn't do it all in one night because, you know, it doesn't take many old fashions, but checked out a bunch of different ones around town. But if you want sort of a guided tour, I love Elizabeth Pierce and Drink and Learn. But if you pop into some of these iconic places, particularly when they're not crowded, and get up to the bar, and, you know, the bartenders will not only make you a drink, but they'll tell you the story of the drinks. It's one of the things that Abigail did so well, and so did the other bartenders over there at Compare Le Pen as well. But that's a good question. Thanks. Let's see, this one, I'm going to read this, the bottom one, but then I'm going to say we're going to answer a little bit of this, and this is going to be a whole podcast episode. We'll do another time. But Charlie Carr says, tell us the perfect 36 hours in New Orleans.
Wow. Like,
yeah, so that's going to be a whole episode.
I would love to be a part of that show.
Yeah, so we'll put that together. But
a lot of research and development on that one.
The hard part of that is, like, where do you stop, right? We did do, I think it's episode 39, were sort of the essential things for a first-time visitor to New Orleans. I got 10 or 11 things there. I'd have to really think about if you only had 36 hours, but real high level, I'd have one or two good meals. I would definitely go check out a cemetery if I could. I would check out some live music, and I would spend the bulk of the time just kind of wandering and not running from place to place, but just sort of, I think New Orleans is best if you experience it. You slow down a little bit.
But you know the other thing, Mark? I think you hit it, you know, your show brings light into what New Orleans, it's beyond the French Quarters. I mean, you have swamp tours. You have all these other tours outside of New Orleans that offer not only great food, but great experiences. Mm-hmm. And so there's always some type of tie-in. So fitting name for the show, obviously, but to have 36 hours in New Orleans is going to include food, is going to include music, is going to include dancing, is going to include drinking, is going to include touching people, touching you and bumping into you, and somebody calling you baby, right?
That's true. And it also gets to the point of you can't do everything. I think people are surprised when they come to New Orleans that, you know, it's a relatively small city.
Big easy.
But there's way more than you can do in a weekend or even a week. But, you know, I'm going to take that as an episode idea, Charlie, and we will get that one done because I think that would be a lot of fun. Again, you're right. Beyond Bourbon Street is about, you know, about trying to curate and give you sort of a perspective when you can't do everything. So that's kind of that on steroids, but I'll think about that and we'll get back to that one. Ties into what you just said. Amy Barnes asks, do you have any ethical swamp tours to recommend where they don't feed the wildlife? You know, I don't know of any of the traditional ones. Again, this sounds like a greatest hits thing. We did an episode with Chad Almquist and Matt May of Canoe and Trail. I think it's, Canoe and Kayak. They're going to kill me. We did an episode. They offer a canoe and kayak tour of Cane Bayou, or Bayou Cane, across the lake. And that's not quite a swamp tour, but you're right next to the Honey Island Swamp. It's really neat. It's not super strenuous. It's pretty still water. And what's neat is you go in through a boat launch and they take you all the way out to the lake. And then you kind of pull over and you're right there looking out. You dump right into the lake right there and you stop and have a po' boy lunch. And then you come back. That's a really fun thing to do. So it's across the lake. So it's going to tie up a half a day or three quarters of a day. But that's a really fun thing to do. It's not the traditional get on an airboat or some of those others. And that's something we'll take and look up for another one. But I know there's a lot of people that feel strongly about some of those. They do kind of toss bait into the water and lure alligators. But that's not at all what they do at canoe and kayak. They just take you out. It's really nice. There's another one a little further out, another company that does things over in Pearl River, so closer to Mississippi. But those things I find I recommend a lot. If you want to get out of the city, you've done a lot in the city before, and you want to do something, you know, outdoor activity, but it's not super strenuous, that's a lot of fun. So that would be one that I would recommend. And I will put the links to both that show, which I'm trying to look up now, as well as to the guys and how you can connect with them. That's a really good one. And I'm about due to go do it again. Another thing they do this moonlight cruise. I think when it's a full moon, they do a moonlight because it's, you know, it's fairly well lit, and they'll take a small group out. So that seems like a really fun thing to do too. Let's see. We've done about 10 or 11. We're doing okay. You doing okay on time? We'll do.
I am doing great on time.
He's struggling with his allergies, so we're fighting that too. So Cody Oxley doesn't have a question. Well, I guess it's a question. He says, "I bet I know where you got them shoes." So you want to explain what that's about?
Why don't you take that? Might be a little age difference for me.
All right.
So. Won't you take that one?
You're calling me old.
I'm not calling you old. I'm just.
So when you walk through the French Quarter, especially if, well, not even, but if you walk through in nice shoes, somebody, a street hustler, will come up to you and say, I bet you $5 I can tell you where you got them shoes. And of course, somebody, you know, tourists get sucked into that and think, well, there's no way that this person knows, you know, where I bought my shoes. And he'll say, "You got them shoes on the bottom of your feet on Bourbon Street in New Orleans, Louisiana. Pay me."
Wow.
Yeah. So I bet you know where you got those shoes. Right. So the answer to that for you and me, Rudy, is I'm a New Orleanian. I understand, brother.
Yeah. Yeah. I did not know.
Yeah. So that's where you got them shoes, Cody. The let's see. Kevin Monteith. Kevin is an avid traveler. I've gotten to talk to Kevin a little bit. He's an avid traveler by Amtrak. I think he has a website called Travels with Kev. But he says, what do most tourists overlook but they shouldn't? Again, we got a whole podcast here, Beyond Bourbon Street, but what do you overlook that you shouldn't? I think too often people don't get off of Bourbon Street.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I think we did a whole episode with Richard Campanella about the history of Bourbon Street, and I think locals like to bash Bourbon Street. I'm certainly guilty of that sometimes. It's a lot of fun, but it dismays me when I hear people leaving conferences and conventions and all they did was Bourbon Street.
Exactly.
Because even in the French Quarter, even if you limited yourself to the French, you can walk two blocks either way and have right. a whole different experience.
Exactly, exactly. So, I mean, that pretty much answers the question, you know, what people overlook.
If you had somebody come, I'm going to give you the question, then I'm going to give you a little time, and okay. I'll answer it first. If you had somebody come in town and you only had time to take them to do one or two things, think about what you would do. You know, one of the things I would do is say, go see the French Quarter in the morning, or the afternoon when it's not packed, and go wander on the Esplanade side so that you really get a sense of the fact that it's a neighborhood. You see people out walking the dogs, you see, you got little coffee shops, you got bars and things certainly, but it's not quite the neon that it is as you get closer to Canal Street. And particularly as you head sort of towards the back corner of Rampart and Esplanade, it's a neighborhood. It's very residential. And I think that people don't stop to see that. If you follow me on Instagram at Beyond Bourbon ST, I mostly highlight New Orleans architecture. And when I wander through that half of the French Quarter, even having grown up here, when you just take your time and wander and just notice all the details. So that's a thing, Kevin, that I think people, they just don't think about when they come here.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm guilty of it as well. What I would suggest is start on Canal Street, take the streetcar all the way to the end of the line to Carrollton. Get off the streetcar at Carrollton. There's a whole nother world uptown New Orleans with great eateries. And then secondly, I would also consider taking a streetcar to the Bywater area. The city did a lot of expansion and renovation to get tourists an easier way to get down there. But the Bywater area has a lot of great local music, eateries, obviously, but just also architecture. You know, a lot of times we forget about the shotgun houses that kind of make up New Orleans. So,
yep, and that's not a bad walk either, too. If you go from Esplanade through the Marigny and the Bywater, especially pretty close to the river, you really kind of see the Caribbean influence. Lots of bright colors, as you said, the shotgun houses, the pitch of the roof. The other thing down there I hadn't thought of in a while, in the Bywater, they have that Crescent Park.
Yeah, the Rusty Rainbow.
Oh, Rusty, yeah.
The Rusty Rainbow is where you catch the best sunrise in New Orleans.
Is that right?
Yeah. The best, well, you know, either or.
Either or, so, right, right.
Yeah, but that's an area that is definitely forgotten. But that Crescent City Park is just a nice running trail, walking trail.
It's right there on the river. They right really river, fixed yeah. that up the last couple of years. They're continuing to fix it up. And that Rusty Rainbow you're talking about, it's a walking bridge that gets you over the railroad tracks.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
But it gives you this really great view back up the river and looking at the Mississippi River Bridge from a direction that you don't typically
you
see.
You can basically see the entire city in that one spot.
So that's a good one, what people ought to go do. And, and again, you do that for free, or,
yeah,
you right?
Can, it's very free. Yeah, it's free. It costs nothing.
Right.
And then you can also catch the Crescent City Farmers Market. They have that. That's their location as well. So you could pick up some great produce, some oranges, some fresh fruit. So
and then right across the street from there, you got Elizabeth's. So that's a great place for breakfast or lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also believe there is what is the German place? Bratz-Jahl.
Oh, Bratz-Jahl. Yeah.
Very good.
That's right. Yeah. Chef Frank Brightson was suggesting that in the Facebook group. So there's a little shout out. Frank Brightson's in the Facebook group.
Yeah, Bratz-Jahl is very good.
But he was mentioning that. And that's just a great, you're right. It's the other thing about the Bywater and the Maroney's, there's a lot of street art down there. So there's a lot visually to see and just to wander around.
Yeah, and go all the way to the end because there, you know, you have some great barbecue back there. You have some great seafood back there. Jack Dempsey's back there hiding all the way on Poland Avenue. So it's worth the drive or the streetcar walk.
That's another one now that you say that. 86 episodes in, I haven't done one about the Bywater. And I have one queued up. There's a business that keeps bugging me in a good way to do one about the Maroney. But I've done one on Riverbend, Carrollton, Oak Street, Maple Street, all that. I need to do one, especially now, because there's so much going on.
There's so much going on.
Yeah, as you head that way towards the Ninth Ward. So that's a good one. One of the things I did want to do, I wanted to talk again. One of our longtime sponsors now is the Old 77 Hotel, Rudy. And, you know, we're talking about all these things you want to do, but you got to have a place to stay.
Absolutely.
If you're not as lucky as you and me to call New Orleans home. And the Old 77 Hotel, I think it's in a great location. It's one of the many reasons I recommend it. It's in the Warehouse District at 535 Chapultepec, which also puts it just 3 blocks from the French Quarter. Again, I've mentioned the Wednesdays at the Square at Lafayette Park. It's a block and a half from there, so it's a great location for that. You mentioned taking the St. Charles streetcar line, really even the Canal Street streetcar line. You're right there, so it's easy to get to things. I like that they have a lot of variety in their rooms. It's not a big hotel, but they got interior rooms. And at first when I saw that, I thought, well, I'm not sure about a room with no windows. But you know what? New Orleans is a perfect place for that. If you've been out all night, you don't want any sunlight creeping in because you wandered in, you know, maybe later than you should.
Right.
So that might be perfect for you.
36 hours.
36 hours, right? You don't have much time to sleep in the 36 hours. You know, they also have these artist loft suites that are curated by local artists. And I really love that about the place. They have, we've talked before, there's a local organization called Where You Art. And they create a little museum, a little gallery, if you will. It's really just a hallway, but it's curated by different New Orleanians. They change it out about every quarter. It has a different theme. And I love that the Old 77 puts such energy into local artists and creators and makers. They sell lots of products of local businesses, including Chop Industries. They're a supporter of the podcast, of course. They also have a great restaurant in the Old 77. Chef Nina Compton runs Compare Le Pen, which is a fabulous place, both to go have a drink and maybe some light food, but it's a great place for lunch or dinner. They really have a lot. You know, and again, it's 3 blocks from the French Quarter. So the Old 77 is located at 535 Chapultepec. Use code BBOLD77 when you book a room. You save 25%, Rudy. Plus, you get $10 credit at Tootla for coffee and stuff in the morning. Wow. So you can't go wrong. So that's my friends over at the Old 77 Hotel. Let's see. We got time for maybe one or two more. Where are we at? Pam Weiss says, what are the unexpected expenses associated with living in New Orleans, especially ones that most people wouldn't know to expect if you moved from somewhere else? Well, first of all, Pam, we did 2 episodes about moving to New Orleans. Episode 48 was with people who have actually moved. And I think at the time we did it, the people we talked to had moved to New Orleans within a year. And then in episode 50, we talked with a realtor, Chris Smith. And then we also have a sponsor of the show, Liz Wood, LizWoodRealty.com. So I think a realtor can help you out. But the things that kind of jump out at me, Rudy, I think taxes, particularly in Orleans, are high. Insurance is high. Car insurance is high. We moved back home. We had lived in Northern Virginia. We moved with the same two vehicles that we had up there, and our car insurance tripled. So that was definitely a shock. I think that catches people. I think one of the things you have to think about if you have kids is public school versus private school or parochial school. There's been a lot of work done in the public schools. I think they're going in the right direction, but it's definitely a work in progress. So for some people, they may consider public school or private school. So if you choose a private school, obviously. Let's see, any other expenses that jump out? I think housing in general is more expensive in New Orleans than people realize. It used to be when I was growing up, it was one of the lesser expensive, least expensive places in the country, but that's certainly not the case post-Katrina.
Right, right.
But those are probably the big ones. Insurance, you also have to, most of us in New Orleans live in a flood zone, so you're going to pay flood insurance. So that's something that you might not have depending where you're coming from. Somebody mentioned in the Facebook high water and trash bill, and we could do a whole other thing on sewage and water board, but we won't.
No.
You know, it's also hot here, so you don't need to use your heater too much in the winter, but you definitely got to use your air conditioning in the summer.
Yes.
But
but other than that, I think just normal expense. The one thing here is not a lot of driving going on, so. It kind of balances itself out.
That's true. If you live in the city, you don't have a long commute.
Right, right. So with that being said, I think, Mark, you covered pretty much all of it.
You know, again, it's because we've done a couple episodes, and that's a great kind of thing. If you're thinking about moving to New Orleans, it's another plug for getting in the Facebook group, because there are plenty of people there that have moved. You know, for Rudy and I, we grew up here, and so you sort of just, it's the life we know. But there's lots of people in that group that have moved. And again, she's not sponsoring this episode, but Liz Wood is a great resource, and she's also an active member in that Facebook group. All right, so we're getting close to the end. What are local thoughts on Airbnb? You want to jump in, or you want me to jump in?
The only thing I will say is I think at some point, if we're not careful, we will lose the essence of New Orleans, which is the people, is the mm-hmm. hospitality, yeah. The opportunity to have neighbors next door to one another, and you knowing your neighbor. New Orleans is one of the only places that you can knock on someone's door and borrow something.
Yeah.
I've lived in Miami, I lived in Atlanta, and there's no such thing of that. So, my take on Airbnbs, I think it's definitely needed, because thanks to Airbnbs, I was able to survive some of those other states I lived in. But we need a balance. You know, we need to cap it off at some point to make sure that we have enough housing for folks who are in a hospitality industry or who are in a medical or the industry that kind of drives this city and make this city great. So,
yeah, I agree. I agree with that. From my lens, I'm okay with Airbnbs if it's somebody who lives on site. Maybe my neighbor, she's got a house with a downstairs she doesn't use. She's older, retired. She rents out one room. You know, at first I didn't like different cars showing up on the, but you know what? It helps supplement her retirement, and she's there. So I don't have a problem with that. I think where you start to really see problems, you hear about it a lot in the Marigny. It's not the only neighborhood where all of a sudden there's so much demand that big businesses come in and they buy up a whole block or they buy up several buildings, and there's just a company running it. So all of a sudden, people that have lived there a long time, they don't have any neighbors. Instead, they're dealing with people with, coming in late, maybe drinking because you're out on vacation, you're tugging a suitcase, and it's just not the same as having a neighbor, in a neighborhood. And I think that's a problem. It got away, in my opinion, in the city, and there was a lot. You saw it in the French Quarter, people buying up properties. And you kind of alluded to it. So much of our city is based on tourism and hospitality, the food business, the hotel business, music business. And a lot of people in those industries don't make a lot of money.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you start buying up the property and all of a sudden there's not the opportunity for people to live in the city, in the community, in the neighborhoods where they work.
Right.
And that is the whole fabric of this city.
Yes, it is. And listen, I believe in entrepreneurship. You know, I think entrepreneurship is definitely something that can give a city sustainability, right? But I just think that there still needs to be a balance because if not, you know, folks won't be able to, unfortunately, make it to work on time or won't be able to afford the other options. So it just needs a balance.
Yeah, I think the mayor's trying to get that. They're trying to work with the council to come up with some rules that make sense. I also think, you know, there are a lot of small hotels in the city. One of them is my sponsor, obviously, the Old 77. But there are even smaller hotels that, you know, their argument would be, well, how do we compete with a business that's effectively, and I'm not talking about the one room or the half of a shotgun, that's trying to run a hotel but not call it a hotel.
Right.
So there's those things that really need to get worked out. But, you know, my short answer is somebody renting an extra room or one half of a double, I don't have a problem with that.
Right. I agree.
So thank you for the question, though. I think we're going to stop there, and we'll save some for another time. Rudy, I so appreciate it. But let's talk again about where people can find you.
Okay. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today. You have a great audience, a great show. I really enjoy listening and more importantly, enjoy being here today. I am Rudy the Foodie. You can find me on Facebook. My business page is Fixing to Eat with Rudy the Foodie. On Instagram, I am Rudy the Foodie, RudyDaFoodie. And on Twitter, I am Rudy the Foodie. So if you will follow me on my food journey, I am creating loyal appetites for brands. I talk about a lot of brands on my page and just supporting and helping them advertise either their new product or their new location. So I would love for you to follow me. Thank you.
You know, and I really enjoy. So one of the things about this podcast is I got to know you because of this podcast.
Sure.
If it wasn't for this, we would never have met, I don't think. And that's been great. But one of the things that I love about seeing, not only the fact that like you were eating all the time and putting it on Instagram, and sometimes I get to do that with you, but what Rudy didn't say is you have a long career, a long experience in the restaurant business and really behind the scenes. And so when you go eat, you and I grew up in a business. When we go eat, we see things through a different lens. And I think you do a great job of both kind of sharing that with the audience, but also then trying to help the businesses improve from the perspective of, you know, you got to control costs and you got to have cleanliness standards and you got to understand what standards are. You got to have HR programs.
Yeah.
And all the things that have to happen to put a plate of food on the table in front of people.
Yeah, it definitely, the what it takes to get that one plate to the table is a long, many, many steps, many, many processes. But more importantly, you're right, Mark. And I failed to mention that. I am, my goal and my heart is to at least give every restaurant, every food service business in this city a place to know that there is someone here that can help. We don't, you know, no knock on Gordon Ramsay, but I am the Gordon Ramsay of New Orleans, so there's no need to call
without the yelling.
I'm making fun of that, but we don't have to wait for someone else to come in and try to help improve or just better communicate or just tell our value proposition better, you know, tell our story better. So I am a storyteller and I am Rudy the Foodie. I'm sorry. And I definitely appreciate the opportunity to talk to your audience today.
It's been so good to have you here and do this. We've been talking about doing it for a while. I'll put the links to everything in the show notes over at beyondbourbonst.com/86, including all the ways they can connect with you. New episodes are available every other Wednesday. If you're enjoying the show, please share it with someone else who loves New Orleans as much as you. And I haven't asked in a while. If you're enjoying the show, I'd love it if you go over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a rating and review. Maybe write a few words about what you like about the show. And until next time, laissez le bon temps rouler.
Thanks for listening to the Beyond Bourbon Street podcast. Find us anytime at beyondbourbonst.com.